You can be seated if you like, or you can stand up, either one. We don't. We're here to worship the living God, and that's what we've been about. So, we'll continue to do that as we look at the Word. Hope you open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And Ryan's already mentioned, Pastor Ryan, that I'm going to look at verses 5 through 9. There's a whole lot in the Word that we want to look at. So, let me look at this passage. It starts by talking about slaves or bondservants, depending on your translation. But here it's specifically talking about slaves. Now, I recognize that probably there's nobody in this building who is a slave by the fact that you belong to somebody else. But the principles that are in this passage of Scripture apply to all of us. And so I want you to take those principles that are here, that are written in God's Word, and ask God to help you apply them to your own life and your own journey. Can we do that? Is it all right to take truth, the teaching, and apply it to us in our world and look at the principles? So I want us to do that because it is God's Word, right? He's speaking to us through it. Let me read the passage and then we'll think about it, but I want to apply it in that sense that these truths apply to us today as well. It says, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Not by way of eye service as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And the masters do the same thing to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." Now, some would say, well, what about, is this passage of Scripture condoning slavery? No. What is he doing? What is God's Word doing? He's saying, if this is your situation, if you happen to be a slave at the point when this was written, this is how you to respond. Other scriptures in 1 Corinthians and so on says if you get a chance to be free, you go free. But let me suggest that sometimes we need to look at not what I wish I was, but what is now reality for me. So what he's writing to them, he's writing to these people, this is where they are, and this is how they can relate to that issue. And so I think we need to take God's Word and say, God, this is where I am. Help me to relate your Word to where I am today and apply it to me. So let's think about that as he writes to the matter of being slaves. The first thing, if you've got your outline out, I hope you have, and scripture references that I'll be reading are on that as well in your bulletin. The first thing is, be obedient to human authority. Be obedient to human authority. He wrote to them and said, to those who are your masters according to the flesh. They do it with fear and trembling. We'll look at more of that in a minute. But be obedient to human authority. Do we, as human beings, have human authority we need to pay attention to? There are human authority beyond us. There are leaders, there are government leaders, there are police, there are other people that have human authority. In schools, the teacher and principal is supposed to have authority. I won't go there. But there is human authority that we need to pay attention to and work with. And if we're to function effectively as a Christian and as a nation and as a society, we need to respect those. I guess one of the things that bothers me a little bit about respecting human authority that I wish would change in this country is that there seems to be a lack of respect for those who are in authority over us. And those who are involved in law enforcement and some of the other things today, it seems like people are disrespecting them. Or even bosses or military personnel or whatever. So as a Christian, and that, by the way, that's what he's saying here, this is for believers. This truth will not apply, you can't live it if you're not a Christian. This is what he's saying. This is a privilege of being a child of God, of knowing I belong to Jesus, so therefore I can function like this. And if I can function like this, it means I belong to Jesus, and it's wonderful to belong to Christ and him to help me be able to live this way, to honor him. So I want to be obedient to human authority. This passage on your note says, urge bond slaves to be subject to their own master in everything, to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith so that they will adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in every respect. So he talked about the way that they're to relate. Today we probably relate it between, if you're working for an employer, perhaps this situation would be similar. You would be, how do you relate to those who are your employer? And working with them. And we need to learn to work with them. I think I mentioned this not long ago, but sometimes I've met individuals who have trouble, who can't keep a job because they won't submit to the employer. They want to be boss instead of being bossed. And some young people, well, not with just young people, I've known who have difficulty keeping a job because they're unwilling to work within the framework of the boss's direction. That's enough said about that. But notice what he said. So I think the principle applies in those areas as well as other people will relate to. But he said we're to do it without argument, being argumentative, not stealing, not taking things from them. But I want you to notice what he said, what the scripture says. That you do this in good faith so that they will what? Adorn the doctrine of God. What do they mean? It means I make what God says look good by the way I relate in this particular circumstance in which I'm in, by respecting the authority that God's put over me and in this particular situation, so that I adorn or make look good the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. That's what we want to happen, that people watch us. So there's some areas, two areas I want to mention this under that. One is show respect. He said, do this with fear and trembling. Now, I don't mean you're running away from them, but it means you show honor and respect for them. Fear and trembling is appropriate in right situations. As I growing up, I had a little fear and trembling when my mom got the switch out. Or I found out my dad was going to find out something that I didn't want him to know. There was a little apprehension. Is that okay? So what he's saying is, as I see that, I show respect. That is, I show fear and trembling because this person is in authority, and I respect that. And I want to say, because as I am obedient to human authority as a child of God, I respect that individual, the position they have and that they have over us. By the way, the scripture says something about all authority is under God. God set it up, so I need to learn to respect authority. So I want to say, I show respect with fear and trembling. As I work with that individual, don't always have to agree with them. Can you respect a person even though you don't agree with them? You respect their position and what they do and where they are. But he also, the second part, it said, do it with sincerity of heart. Do it with sincerity of heart. That is genuine yieldingness, genuine service because of who we are in Christ, which I'll talk about in a minute. So, if I'm to be a Christ-like servant, I'm obedient to human authority with respect for that authority and with sincerity of heart, genuine surrender. The second thing that I want to think about for a minute is render all service to Christ. Render all service to Christ. Notice he said at the end of verse 5, having talked about being obedient, fear and trembling and sincerity of heart, what? As to Christ. And then down in verse 7, he says, with good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men. Now, when I serve, whatever place I'm serving, whether it's in the church or whether it's in the community or on a job or whatever, what does he say? I'm to do it how? As to Christ. As though I'm doing it for Him. I'm going to suggest some ways that that will be what effect they'll have on us when I take that attitude. It says, whatever you do, on the scriptures on your notes, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. This perspective, this understanding that I am under the Lordship of Christ changes everything. When I render service to Christ, when I do what I do for Him and to Him. I think a lot about that. When I learn to do it that way, it changes everything. It changes my perspective. I may do the same kind of things. I may work for an employer. I may teach a Sunday school class. I may be in the choir. I may do something, but when I'm doing it, or I may take something to help some people out, when I do it under the Lord, it changes the attitude. It changes what happens in me when I'm doing it for Him rather than just doing it for people. So he said, it's the Lord Christ I serve. So what I'm suggesting is, what I'm trying to do this week is, everything I do, I begin to say, is this for Jesus? Can you get up and eat breakfast for Jesus? Can you get up and take a shower for Jesus? Can you go to work if you're employed for Jesus? If you begin to think this way, it changes the way you do it. It doesn't change always. You may do some of the same things, but the attitude changes. So if you're writing in on your notes, serving Christ gives me a better attitude. Serving Christ gives me a better attitude. The scriptures that I read earlier talked about doing it heartily as for the Lord. Wholeheartedly. Now, so when I serve, and I serve it for Jesus, I'm doing it for Him who loved me and died for me, Him who lives in me, Him who gives me life. When I'm doing it for Him, my attitude changes. And I think the word heartily means enthusiastically. It means I'm going to do it for Him. When I'm serving for Jesus, and I realize what He's done for me and who He is in my life, and I yield to Him and let His Spirit control me, I serve with a whole positive attitude because God has given me so much already. All of us have so much. And so my attitude is, I can do this for Him. And I can do it with a positive attitude because I'm doing it for Him. He's the one who gave me this life. He's the one who gave me this opportunity. He's the one who gave me this job. He's the one who gave me this whatever it is I'm going to do. And I want to serve with that attitude. It changes our attitude when I'm doing it for Jesus. So if you're having trouble doing stuff and you're griping about it, maybe you need to check out your relationship to Jesus and say, Jesus, change my attitude because I'm going to do it for You. And I can do it in a more positive, enthusiastic way, whether it's for a job or whether it's just working around the house or whether it's working with my neighbor, that I have this attitude. I'm doing it for Jesus. And when I do it for Him, I'm glad to do it. I have a positive attitude about what I'm doing. And so when I take this principle of doing it under Christ as a Jesus, it will change the way I do it, the attitude that I have toward it. And I think that's good. Some of you have met people who were born a negative attitude, a negative gender. You know, there are some individuals you meet and all they ever talk about is how bad stuff is. You don't like that, do you? Well, if you're serving Jesus, then you can talk about how good stuff is. You're alive, you're well, you're going to heaven, He's taking care of you, He's provided for you. And you just start listening, your attitude can change real quick when you think about who He is. So, serving Christ gives me a better attitude. Secondly, serving Christ enables quality work. Serving Christ enables quality work. Now, I'm thinking about this, doing this, all this under Jesus. It says, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the things in which they slander you as evildoers, you may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God on the day of visitation. Keep your behavior excellent. Listen, because I do it for Jesus, I want to do it the very best I can. If I'm honoring the Lord Jesus Christ who died for me, who gave His best for me already, when I'm doing a task for Him, I want to do it to the very best of my ability, if the best quality I can put into it, and the best effort I can put into it, because I'm doing it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I will want to do excellence for Him. We don't want to do sloppy for Jesus, because that means we represent Jesus as a sloppy Jesus. He's not that way. He's holy. He's perfect. He does everything well. And so when I'm doing it for Jesus, He enables me to do a work that is pleasing to Him, a quality work that's pleasing to Him, and that will be well done. I'm not saying perfect, but doing it well. And I'm grateful today that as believers, we want to do our best. If you're an employer, you're employed, I hope you're the best employee that employer has got. You want to give the very best that you can give to it. You don't want to just say, well, I'm going to do what I can to get by. No, you want to be quality. If you're teaching the Sunday school class, you want to give quality. If you're ministering in Jesus' name, you want to give quality. If you're helping your neighbor, you want to give the best you can. You don't want to just be sloppy about it. You want to give the best you can. If you're taking a meal, you don't want to take, you know, hamburger or whatever. You take steak and potatoes. What I'm saying is, because I serve Jesus, I want to do the best. When He's in control, excellence is going to be a part of our life and the quality of our life. So that's what I'm thinking about in that. On the other side of your notes, one other area that I think about is I serve unto Jesus. Serving Christ enables me to be more effective. Serving Jesus enables me to be more effective. It says, I thank my God always, making mention of my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Now, being a servant of Jesus means I can actually be more productive and more effective in what I do. Well, you notice what this scripture says. He talks about, he prays for them. By the way, some of those notes I left off the eye, but that's computer fault, not mine. Anyway, he said, I hear of your faith and love in the Lord Jesus. And he talked about the fellowship of your faith become effective how? Through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you, how? For Christ's sake. Does Christ help you think better? Does He help you to do your work in a better way? Does He give you skills that you wouldn't have otherwise? He can make us more effective. When I'm focusing on, I want to do whatever I'm doing, whether it's being a parent, whether it's taking care of our kids, whether it's working on a job, whether it's teaching, whatever, I want to be the best I can be. But I believe the power of the Spirit of God can make me effective in that because I'm doing it for Him. Jesus is the one who does that. So I'm thinking about in this passage, this section, I want to do it for Jesus. So my prayer is that you'll go home this week. If you don't remember anything else I say today, and all week long you say, I'm going to do this for Jesus. I'm going to do this for Jesus. I'm going to do this for Jesus, and just watch what happens. When you get up in the morning, I'm going to eat breakfast for Jesus. I'm going to take a shower for Jesus. I'm going to go to work for Jesus. I'm going to work on our project for Jesus. I'm going to love my wife or husband for Jesus. And you start letting that permeate your thinking. I think you'll find it'll be improve your relationships and your situation when I think about I'm doing it for Him and Him alone, which I'll talk more about as I go. So when I think about all this, I read a story, sort of like a parable or a short story that I want to think about. Ruth went out to her mailbox one day, and she's found one envelope in her mailbox. She thought it was kind of strange because she didn't see a postmark on the envelope. There wasn't a stamp on it either. She thought, well, that's kind of strange. But she opened it up, and it said, Dear Ruth, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Saturday evening, and I'd like to stop by for a visit. Love always, Jesus. Well, she was sort of nervous about that, and she got thinking about it. She said, well, I don't have anything in my cupboards to serve him. So she said, well, I'll go to the store and get something. Ruth didn't have a lot. In fact, her cupboards are empty. So she got her purse and discovered she had $5.40. So she went to the store. She bought a half a pound of turkey, sliced turkey. She bought a loaf of bread and a carton of milk. So she headed home. With those thinking about how she's going to serve Jesus, who's going to come visit her. On the way home, she wasn't paying much attention. She was thinking about what she was going to do. And she heard this, Lady, can you help us? And she looked, and here was two people in the alleyway shivering, and they were dressed in rags. And they said, Lady, we live here on the street, and we're hungry, and would you give us something to eat? Could you help us? She looked at him and she said, well, I'm a poor lady myself. I don't have much. And all I've got is this that I bought. And I've got a special guest coming. And it's for them. So I can't help you. So they said, okay, thank you, lady. And they turned to go down the alley. Ruth felt a twinge in her heart. And she had heard this before. She said, oh. She turned and said, wait. And she ran down to them. She said, here, you can have what I've got, this the groceries, the meat and the bread and the milk, and I'll find something else for my guest. And they said, thank you, lady. Thank you very much. And she turned and looked, and the woman, the wife, said, thank you, lady. And she looked and saw this woman was shivering in the cold. So she said, I've got another coat. So she took her jacket off, put it around the woman's shoulders. And they said, thank you, lady. She turned and walked back home. She's kind of glad for what she'd done. She said when she got to the house, she was looking for a key in her purse. And as she did, she looked and saw another envelope in the mailbox. She said, that's strange. She said, usually the postman only comes once. So she took the envelope out. She opened it, and here's what she read. Dear Ruth, thank you for being with me today. I appreciate the meal you gave me, and thank you for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus. Folks, that's what we're about, in His name, for His glory. On your notes, if you will, the next thing is serve to please Jesus, not people. Verse 6 says, not but web I serve as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. If you're trying to please people, you know what's going to happen? You will never please anybody. If my goal is to please people, even to please myself, because I'm not always happy the way I do stuff, let alone anybody else. Here's what I think of, and you heard me say it before. Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, lived on this earth. Did He please everybody? If He can't, I can't either. So my goal is not to please people. My goal is to please Jesus. He said, not as men pleasers, but as servants of Jesus Christ, bond slaves of Jesus Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. So I want to say, God, help me to please You. The scripture I listed on your notes says, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Get that? I've said it, you others say it. If I please people and don't please God, it doesn't matter what I do. If I please God and don't please people, I'm on the right track. But most of the time, if you please God, other people are going to be ministered to. They're going to be blessed by it when you do it His way. So I just need to remember that. None of you having trouble trying to please people, right? I would say something about a husband and wife, but I ought not to, probably. You see, if your goal is to please another person, you never quite measure up. But if your goal is to please Jesus, He's pleased with everything you do for Him and for His glory, and He's delighted with it. You can always please Jesus. And if you please Jesus, I believe you'll be able to please other people, meet other people better, because your goal is focused on Him. You've heard me, I've shared this before, but just remind you as a couple or anybody, you've got God, you've got your husband, you've got your wife, or two other people in this triangle thing. When the wife and the husband move this way toward God, what happens to the two who are moving this way? They become closer. Because your goal is to please Him. You'll never please another person. You realize that? If you're honest, you don't even please yourself some of the time. Well, you think about it. We're not always happy with what we do. But if I please Jesus and I'm seeking to please Him, don't worry about pleasing people. I'll be way ahead. He also said, serve from my heart. Remember the next thing in your notes. Serve from my heart. In other words, I want to be a genuine, wholehearted servant of Jesus. And this scripture you're familiar with, it says, one of the scribes came and heard them arguing and recognizing that he has answered them. Well, answered him. What commandment is the foremost of all? Jesus answered, the foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. If this is true, and the more true it becomes, the better I can serve with a whole heart. Now, I recognize I suppose all of us is this way. I wish that was 100% true in my life, that I love God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. But I find there's still room to grow in learning to do that. But praise God, He's patient while I learn to do that better. But out of that, then I can serve with my heart because I'm serving Him. I can have this wholehearted willingness to say, God, I want to do it genuine from the heart because I really want to. So I serve with my heart. The next thing on your notes is, I want to remember, God is the one who rewards service. He said in verse 8, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. He is the one who rewards service. Now, let me ask you, if your goal is to get rewards, what's going to happen? Not going to work. What did Jesus say for the people who seek rewards? He talked about if you're seeking approval of men or whatever and you get the reward, that's all you get is that reward, that what you get, and you don't get anything more. But when you serve Jesus, there's a whole different reward coming. And He's the one who determines that. The Scripture says, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to His works. But when it comes to getting rewards for works, when you try to serve Christ, do you do it all by yourself? Do you have Christ's help? Does He help you do, serve, minister, have a change of attitude, all those things? So He's the one who really does it in you. And then when you get to heaven, He rewards you for what you let Him do in you. Well, you think about it. If I have to generate the good works, I'm in trouble because I never do it by myself. It comes as I yield my heart to Him and I serve Him and He rewards. Now, let me ask you, does He reward really well? Does He reward beyond what you deserve? Folks, getting into heaven is more than I deserve. And all the rest of it's gravy on top, if you will. But there is going to be more, isn't there? He is watching. So when I do it for Him, does He remember every activity, every service you render for Jesus? And you do it in His name, does He remember it? He does. In fact, one Scripture says He's faithful not to remember the service we render to Him. If it's for Him, He also knows if we're doing it for us or other people, and that don't work too well. But He remembers. He rewards. And I want to say to you and remind you, I don't care what I get. I'll be glad to get anything. But I serve Him because I do look forward. Because it said in the Scripture, every good thing I receive from the Lord, whether slave or free. In other words, it doesn't matter my earthly connection if I'm working for Him. The last thing on your notes is submit to God as master. Verse 9 said masters would do the same thing. In other words, masters would practice everything that's in the verses prior to this. Not be threatening. Why? Both their master, who? The slave, their master, and yours, the master who is the master, and your master is in heaven, and there's no partiality with Him. He doesn't distinguish between positions here on earth. I want to submit to God as master. Now, again, I wish I could tell you that I was 100% submitted to God as my master. But I'm not. And if you're honest, you're not either. But you can learn to submit more and more and more and more. You ever have God point out an area of your life that's out of His control and you say, I need to give that, this attitude, this problem, this issue, whatever it is, and I learn to submit more and more. I would like the day to come when I'm more submitted, as much submitted to God as Jesus was to the Father. But notice what He said. Remember, you have a master, an eternal, everlasting master, and I sure want to be under His control. I want to serve Him. So these principles are ways to help me do that. I get to be a Christ-like servant of Jesus in this world. As I mentioned at the beginning, the only way you can do this is by faith in Jesus Christ. These principles can only be lived out if you have faith in Christ and you're asking Him to help you. But praise the Lord, if you're living them out, He's there to help you live them out. And that's a good life. So my prayer is that we'll yield to Him. If you don't know Him, my prayer today is you'll give your heart and life to Him. I hope as you think through these things, if nothing else, as I said earlier, I hope you go home this week and say, I'm going to do this for Jesus. I'm going to do this for Jesus. I'm going to focus on doing it for Him and see what happens as I set that focus. So today I encourage you to give your heart to Christ. If there's places in your life where you know you can't serve with a whole heart and something needs to be changed, He'll change it. If there's an attitude that needs to be changed, He'll change it. If you realize that you've been out in the wrong place, He'll change it if you ask Him to. You don't have to go home defeated today. You don't have to go home guilty, because if God speaks to you and say, God, forgive me, let's change it. And you can go home with a new attitude. You don't have to go home defeated, because Jesus is willing to change that in your life. Let's bow together. Thank you, Lord, for what you give us in your word. Thank you for your power that enables us to live this out by your grace. And God, this quality of life is from you. Help us as your people to receive it, put it into practice by yielding to you. Lord, I pray for your touch on every life that's in this room. And Lord, if there's any individual without Jesus, may this be the day when they choose to receive Him and let Him come and live in their life. Lord, we commit these moments to you. They're moments of decision about what we've heard God say to us. We pray that we'll say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.